Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fridays, 3:30, Colin Wilson, Action Network. Here he is off another very strong week. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Well, thanks for winning me money last week.
Well, I mean, listen, everybody has to remember, practice proper money management, because that 2-11 weekend is coming. At some point, it's coming.
So let's start with tonight. You know, it's a big one in the Pac-12. Utah is favored by 4 on the road at USC. What do you think?
Yeah, this one's been tough for me because anybody that was following me all summer would know that all I said was, take Utah to win the Pac-12. Utah 10-1, that's too much. 6-1, too much. Buy it up all you can. They've got a, you know, easier schedule than last year. And, you know, their biggest game is going to be at USC on a Friday night on a short week. Well, here we are. And I'm actually not too comfortable with my Utah futures. And most of this has to do with the fact that Kedon Slovis has gotten better and better. I mean, it's a really tough spot against BYU. They're really good against explosive passing. And, you know, he looked good, even with 3 interceptions. You know, one of them at the end wasn't his fault. But the guy has grasped air raid offense. Graham Harrell is calling a good game. And I just keep going back to last year and the last 4 years. Washington State in the air raid has beaten Utah 4 years straight. Utah has a major problem with the air raid offense. And now here they are with Graham Harrell running the air raid just fine with Slovis. So I'm on USC tonight, taking the +4 and just hoping that Utah wins by 3. That would be great.
Well, that's disappointing, because this would be, if Utah loses, it's the most Pac-12 thing ever. Got like one team that everyone's been propping up, and now they're going to lose to a USC team that's going to be 500.
and you're talking to a guy that graduated from a SEC school. Like, I want variety in my college football playoff. I would like the Pac-12 to come back. I'd like the Big Ten to score some points, like have some representation in it. So, you know, I didn't mind Notre Dame getting in last year, and I would love to see the Pac-12 get into it, especially Utah, because Utah's front 7 on defense is good enough to hang with the SEC.
Now let's take a look. You mentioned the Big Ten, and there's obviously a big matchup this week with Michigan and Wisconsin. Some of the shine appears to be coming off Michigan. Wisconsin's on the rise, and Wisconsin's actually favored by 3.5.
Yeah, and I made the number Wisconsin -1.5, so I haven't been real gung-ho on jumping on the Badgers. If it was a 3, it'd be a different story. But you're right. Wisconsin looks amazing. But how do you handicap a team that has had no points scored against them whatsoever? Central Michigan only had 58 total yards against them. That's not a quarter or a half. That was a full game. They only had 58 total yards. So it's hard to say where Wisconsin really is. They haven't really had a test. Michigan, on the other hand, fumbled the ball 5 times, only had 3 total last year. They've had problems executing the new offense from Josh Gattis. But I think the thing that sticks out to me the most, that's really got me rattled and why I won't place any money on Michigan, is that they're 120th on defense and sack rate. They're being pushed around to the tune of like 99th in the country in a thing called power success rate, which measures like if teams are getting 2 or 3 yards, short yardage situation and 3rd and 4th down. Teams are pushing around this Michigan defense on the front, and that's just a very uncharacteristic, so I can't back them in this spot.
You know, that brings us to Oregon, Stanford. Piggybacking off of that stat, I don't know if you have it in front of you. Where's Oregon rank in that number you just threw out about Michigan?
Defensively, they're top 50. You know, and that's expected. They were in Auburn's backfield all day.
Yeah.
So you know, there. I think the stats. Auburn has a hard time running the ball, anyways, and that's a story for why I think Texas A&M is going to do okay. But as far as Oregon and Stanford go, I think 10.5 points is way too many. And I don't want to be mean against Texas, because I love the Ducks, and I think they're going to do really well this year. But crystal ball on the road at double digits as a favorite scares me. There's just something about Oregon on the road that, you know, it just seems like beating Stanford by double digits, a team that's really has Oregon's number, is just a lot of points. I know how beat up they are. Stanford does get Foster Serrell back, the offensive lineman that was going to fill in for their left tackle last week. So they're a little bit stronger there. They did score points against UCF in the second half. I just think that's way too many points to give KJ Costello at home.
And speaking of a lot of points here, and maybe there's just this much of an imbalance, but you've got number three Georgia, number seven Notre Dame, and it's a two-touchdown spread right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, all the tickets and all the money, everybody's grandmother, everybody's uncle, everybody has a Georgia ticket, and I can't tell you not to do that because, listen, I can't find one mathematical stat. I can't find anything why to back Notre Dame. They're smaller than Georgia in the trenches. They're outside the top 100 in sack rate on defense, which means Jake Fromm's going to have all day to throw. Georgia has the number one offensive line in the country, and it's not even close. They're going to be able to run on any down and distance anytime they want. Notre Dame's third down conversion percentage on defense is outside the top 100 also. So it doesn't matter down and distance. Georgia's going to be able to control the clock, control the ground, control the air. And I think Georgia's going to be able to name it. Now, I have a little bit of pause because as a guy that reads the gambling market the entire day, if I see everybody that's calling their grandmother and their uncle and their brother and saying, get a ticket on Georgia, that makes me a little nervous. So, you know, I think the number's a little high. I made it Georgia minus 12. It's at 14.5. So it's kind of the key hook there. But odds makers are just wanting anybody to come in and lay Notre Dame money. I wouldn't even be surprised to see this line move up even higher to 17 to get that Notre Dame money that they're wanting.
This is Colin Wilson. He is with the Action Network. He joins us each Friday at 3:30 here on The Fan. So betting against UCLA just sort of seems too easy. Now, I know you didn't bite last week because they were catching 24 from Oklahoma. I think you thought that was a little high. Do you bite this week? They're catching 18 points from Washington State.
Yeah, here we are again. Too many points. It should be 14. It's 18, and it's not enough to get me to buy UCLA. I said this last week. I'll say it again. Until Dorian Thompson-Robinson can protect the ball, execute some drives, show me efficiency in moving the chains, until the defense can stop somebody, I just don't have any faith in covering any numbers. Is the number too high? Of course it is. Has UCLA proven to me that they're worth pulling my money out of my wallet and putting it down and backing them? No. And until I get that, once I finally realize, you know, I've found their floor and I know where that is for UCLA and the market's off on them and the market keeps hating them, that's when I'll start buying UCLA.
What about Colorado, Arizona State? Arizona State, everyone's in love with now. They're in the top 24 or top 25. They can't score. I mean, we all keep talking about this freshman quarterback. I don't see it. Colorado, I know they're coming off a tough loss in overtime, but they're getting 7.5. Is there some value here with Colorado?
I think there absolutely is. I mean, anytime you got Steven Montez and LaVisca Chenault on one side, and you've got an Arizona State team that was, I have to think back here a couple of weeks ago, if we even had a touchdown against Sacramento State. I remember that I kept counting every time they got to the red zone, either there was no point, there was a field goal, and this was Sacramento State, right? So, and then they go up, and Michigan, in my opinion, Michigan State did everything to give them that game. Points are a superior problem. I think that Steven Montez has seen the 3-3-5 defense enough, especially with Arizona State and sort of some other programs that he's seen that. He can recognize the coverage, that I think there's a huge advantage here for Colorado.
Cal is on the road at Ole Miss. The Bears are a slight underdog. Where's the value in that?
Yeah, there are an underdog, and I've been waiting for it to get to 3. I actually make Cal a small favorite here. Ole Miss is kind of being propped up by beating up on Arkansas, which is not a hard thing to do, especially when they were searching for a quarterback. So Ole Miss looks good that they have a conference win. At the same time, everybody needs to realize that this is a 9 a.m. kick for the Colorado – I'm sorry, for the Cal players. So they're coming in to play an SEC team at a noon Eastern kick. But that's 9 a.m. body clock time. And this Cal team just 2 weeks ago was playing until 2 o'clock in the morning against Washington. So, the time frame is a little wonky, and that's why I like the first half under on this game. I think you can get it at 21. The one thing that people don't realize is that if you go to the Action Network and you look in the college football section, I wrote a piece about havoc. Havoc is passes defense, forced fumbles, tackles for loss. Ole Miss is actually ranked in the top 15. It's crazy. But they are coached by Mike McIntyre, the old head coach of Colorado. He had some success with defenses there. Ole Miss is actually in the top 15 in what we call havoc. And so we already all know about Cal's defense. I think this is going to be two great defenses taking the ball, you know, from each other. Garbers hasn't given the ball up in 2 weeks. He's due for massive turnovers. But I like the first half under in this spot because of the time slot and the two defenses.
In the interest of accuracy, I looked it up. Arizona State did score a touchdown against Sac State. The 72-yard pass from Jaden Daniels to Eno Benjamin.
Yeah. So. Everyone's, yeah, like, raving about this freshman quarterback. I just do not see it. Like, it baffles me.
The arm on – he's got the arm. It's just that he is very – he's very green. I mean, he's, true freshman, 18 years old. And that game, besides handing off to Eno Benjamin – His whole entire game was to take a three-step drop and then fire it up over the safeties, over Sacramento State safeties, and hopefully one of the wide receivers was underneath it. That was the entire offensive playbook. And once you start playing, you know, Power 5 programs, you're not going to be able to do that.
Better home underdog. Now, this is a selfish question because we've got a BYU grad and a Kansas grad. Better home underdog, BYU catching what, like 6.5 from Washington,
right,
or Kansas and Les Miles catching 4.5 at home against West Virginia?
I think they both have a chance to win, but we are not hopping off this BYU train until we are proven wrong.
Washington
has to take on USC next week, kind of an overlooked spot. They already beat the tar out of BYU last year. There's some revenge on the Cougars' mind. They may be a little tired, maybe a little deflated. That's my problem with BYU, is that they've been playing some upper-tier Power 5 programs, and they've been doing really well. When does the gas run out of the tank? But I'm rolling on BYU until they prove me wrong.
What's the top play this week?
Crazy enough, out on the West Coast, I like San Diego State. So the Utah State is coming in off of a bye. And Jordan Love, we all know, is just a wonderful quarterback, one of the best in all of the Group of Five. And he's coming in to play San Diego State. And, of course, they're going to present the 3-3-5 defense that Rocky Long runs down at San Diego State that confuses everybody. And Jordan Love has never seen that defense before. But the thing that people don't realize is Rocky Long gave his Monday presser during practice and said, the only way to stop Jordan Love at Utah State is to attack him with pressure and blitz him immediately from the start. Well, you go look up Utah State, they lost all five offensive linemen in the offseason. That was 115 career starts that they lost. I think San Diego State's going to be all over them from the start, and Jordan Love's never going to get comfortable.
What's the number on that game?
4. And it may dip before we get there. So I liked it at 4.5. It's at 4. We'll see what the line does, but it may come down a little bit more.
All right, Colin, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.